Psalm 17. A prayer of David. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes, crouching down to the earth, as a lion is eager to tear its prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you will fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in your presence. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this psalm that we just read. As David prays, he prays in honesty, prays asking for justification, that he prays for protection against his enemies. He prays for justice upon his enemies, upon your enemies, Lord. And he looks forward to the time when he will wake up and be just like you. Lord, I pray that as we study this psalm, that Lord, you strengthen our hearts. Lord, that you speak to us, that Lord, you just transform us with this truth that is always nourishing. Lord, feed our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 17 is a prayer of David. We do not know the circumstances surrounding the writing of the psalm, like some psalms. But it starts off mentioning how God should hear him. He says, hear a just cause. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayers. This is Jewish poetry here. He says one thing in different ways. He's basically telling the Lord, please listen to me. And he says it three different ways. Hear my cause, my just cause. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. Lord, listen to me. I have something to say. He says, what I'm saying is not from deceitful lips. I'm actually speaking very honestly here. Let my justification and vindication come from your presence, and let your eyes look on the things that are upright. One thing that stands out in these two verses is the honesty with which David speaks. How many of us pray really honestly? And you're talking to God just like David is. Our prayers are often just babblings and repetitions and sometimes even pretense. The one person that we need to be very honest with is God. First of all, because he knows everything. We can pretend before each other. Somebody can greet you, "How are you today?" And you say you're fine, but you're not exactly fine, right? You know you're hungry. You know you're angry. You know that something is bothering you heavily, and you're just saying, "Well, I'm fine." Deep in your heart, up in your mind, you're not fine. And we can just say that because, or you're supposed to say fine. But the one person, if imagine God came by and said, "Hey, how are you today? Good morning, how are you today?" Would you say, "Oh God, I'm fine, I'm fine"? You know that you'd actually be honest with him because you know he knows the truth. And that's the way David starts his prayer. He says, "God, I'm speaking very honestly here. I'm not telling a lie. I'm asking for justification. And please look at the right things that I do. Let your eyes be upon the things that are upright." He's really presenting his life before the Lord. "Lord, I come. I'm very honest. Please look upon me and look for the good things." He says, "You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Very interesting, the words that David writes. How many of you would pray like that? "God, you've tested me, you've tried me, I've gone through this, I've gone through that. You've found me very true, very faithful, your servant, a good child, who has actually purposed not to sin verbally, transgress with my mouth." How many tests do we normally pass? Tests from the Lord. Do you ever pass the anger test? Somebody really gets you angry, but you remain calm, you remain patient. Maybe God has promised you something and you really wait until it happens, and all the time you're really waiting patiently. You're not even asking God, "Why? When? What's happening?" Have you passed the forgiveness test? Somebody hurts you and you are able to forgive them and completely get it out of your heart, out of your mind? Have you passed the suffering test? Like Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even if I suffer so much, I will trust in my God." Have you passed that test? And David said, "God, you've tested me." Now, if there's one man who really went through so many tests, it's David. He's really speaking from experience. He's not a junior in anything, in suffering, in patience, in provision. At one point was begging food. At another point was a king. He had gone through everything. And of course, these are all tests. And tell you what, God will put us through so many tests. Everything that happens in our life is not just because somebody got you angry. There is a test in there. Well, somebody will get you angry, will try to annoy you, and it's a test. Will you pass the test, get angry, and blow up, act irrationally? Or will you remain calm? And David said, "You have tested my heart. You have visited me. You paid me a visit in the night. You have tried me, and I've passed the test. You found nothing." As if God had been weighing David, and David is of substantial weight. He passes the test. Does it remind you of another psalm? Psalm 139, verses 23-24, when David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Do you ever veil your heart to be tested by God? How many of us have phobia for exams, for tests? You know, you've been in the class, you've attended all the lessons, but the exam hour is an hour of panic. I was told of a girl who actually lost her mind because of exam phobia. She completely lost it. She could not sit any exam. Mental hospital. Now tell me, didn't she attend all the classes? Didn't she study for 6 years, was actually an A-level student? She did, but when it comes to tests, we all panic. But David in Psalm 139 says, God, test me. Give me a test. Set me an exam. Set a hurdle that I can jump. See if I can jump it. Look deep in my heart. Is there anything? Is there anger? Is there sin? Is there unforgiveness? Is there anxieties, worries? Is there depression? Is there anything that is bothering me and I don't even know it? Try me, Lord. And here in Psalm 17, of course, God gave him a series of tests. He says, you have tested me, Lord. I've passed all the tests. The one fear that we have of tests, exams, trials, is actually whether or not we'll pass them. Right? Will I get the pass mark? Will I excel? Will I fail? It's fear of failure. But that should not prevent us from opening up our hearts to the Lord for testing and opening up our lives for God to test. Now, truth is, whether or not you open your mind or heart or life to testing, they actually come. How many tests have you gone through today? They actually come. God puts us to test every day. The test of our faith. The test of our patience. Test of forgiveness. Test of generosity. Test of kindness. Test of sensitivity. Are you sensitive to others? Test of love. Have you been loving all day? And all the other tests that we go through. And he says, God, you tested me, and I've passed. And I tell you what, the one exciting thing about tests is when you pass. You're not afraid anymore. You jump out of the exam knowing I excelled. Or at least after getting the result, you know, I got a pass mark. I got a distinction. I passed. And if you look back at the fears you had and the excellence you've had in the test, you rejoice. And this is what David is thinking about here. You have found nothing. God have passed the test. He's happy he did. And verse 5, he says, uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. Now that's interesting that David is saying that God would uphold his steps in his paths. And yet in the very previous verse, he says, I have passed the test, I've committed myself not to sin verbally. You see, the passing of tests does not necessarily mean we've had it. The test that you've passed today does not mean there are no more tests coming. It's a long journey, it's a long series of tests. Life is a long, long, long series of tests. And David thinks about his ways, the way he walks. Up to now, he's been walking well. But let's look at David's life. Let's look back at David's life. Did he walk well all through? He stumbled a few times. And here, much as he has passed certain tests, maybe the day's tests, maybe the week's tests, the year's tests, he's still in a place of, God, I don't want to fail any tests. Help me follow your paths that I may not fall away. God, lead me to take those steps, those good steps, those holy steps, that I may not slip off and waver. He's basically saying, okay, God, I've passed this test, but I have more tests. So help me pass them. The test of following the Lord. A big one. Do we follow the Lord properly? Do we follow the Lord well? Every step? God, lead me towards your direction, towards the way that you want me to go. Reminds me of Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, as the psalmist declared there. But God does guide. God does lead in his paths of righteousness. And to him he says, God, make my steps firm in the way that you want me to go. Uphold it. I don't want to slip. Does that make you think about our muddy roads? You're almost asking God on a rainy day, God, I don't want to fall and embarrass myself on this muddy path. Has that ever happened to you? Early morning coming to town or going to school, and there you are, all muddy. Much as God sets tests for us and we pass them, there are more. And we should be asking God daily, God, guide me today. I want to pass all the tests today. I want to walk well today. I want to follow you well today. I want to be a good example to others today. Uphold that my steps may not slip. In verse 6 he says, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me, Jewish poetry repetition, and hear my speech. Means the same thing. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. It says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. For the wicked oppress me, for my deadly enemies who surround me. If you do not know how to pray, the Psalms are a good place to visit. Very honest prayers, very direct prayers, very genuine, very rich prayers. In fact, as a baby Christian, I would just, when I was a young Christian, I didn't even know how to pray. I hadn't been taught how to pray yet. And I would, before bed, just open up a random psalm and read it. And I would tell God, God, I'm just going to pray along this psalm, and I would just read it, and it's a prayer. That's how I actually learned to pray as a young Christian. David is praying that God would keep him safe and protect him dearly as the apple of his eye. He prays that God would protect him from especially his enemies. Now, through every season of your life, the dominant factor of the season almost determines your prayer direction. So if you're in school, you're a student, you know what you pray about the most? God, help me through this school. Help me pass my exams. Help me please my teachers. Help me. And all you think about is school. After school, you graduate, what happens? Now it's time to look for a job. So you're no longer praying that God guide you through school. That's done. God, I need a job. You know I finished school. And then you get the job. Now you're not going to be praying for a job again. You have it. What are you praying for? God, I really want to be a nice employee. I really want to be a fruitful employee. God, bless the works of my hands. Now for David, as a king, call him a president, as a leader, he was surrounded with so many enemies, and his enemies feature a lot in his prayers. All through David's life, he had enemies. When he was a shepherd, remember, lions threatened the security of his sheep. When he went to King Saul to play music for him, the king wanted to kill him. And then he fled for 10 years, was a rebel. And then he comes to the kingdom. As a king, he had so many external enemies to fight. Eventually, his son would actually revolt against him. So praying for safety features a lot in his prayers because he really was surrounded with enemies. What dominates your prayer life now? It's whatever season you're going through. If you're getting married soon, you're just praying through the wedding preparations and funds and everything in that direction. He prays that God would protect him very securely as the apple of his eye. You know the apple of your eye, that middle part of your eye? Now our eyes are such that the protection of the apple is reflex. You don't even think about it. When an object is coming directly into your eye, you know that you don't even have to think about it. Your eye will close. If you insist to have it open, then you can go through a painful experience. And he's basically saying, God, protect me like I'm the most sensitive part of your body. It's the apple of the eye, it's the eye. God, keep me very close to yourself. You really have to shield me, Lord. I have so many enemies. Always protect me. As the eyelids always protect the eye from those, he calls them deadly enemies who surround me. Well, we also have an enemy. His name is Satan. And how we need to pray that God protects us from him. May God protect us from our arch enemy, Satan himself. And he says in verse 10, they have closed up their fat hearts with their mouths. They speak proudly. He speaks about their evil. They are proud. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey. And like a young lion lurking in secret places, they are secretly making maneuvers to eat us up, to eat me up. That's what Satan does, by the way. Arise, O Lord God, get up. That does not mean God was asleep or God is lying down. It's just an expression of him asking God to take some action here. God, arise, confront them, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord. Now, I really enjoy prayers against Satan from others. Have you ever heard Ugandans pray, especially when they're praying against Satan? It's almost with the loudest voice, like with some authoritative voice. They use languages like binding. Have you used such language? Canceling, declaring, commanding, and let's give a shout against the enemy and blah, 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 blah. Very dramatic, right? You Ugandans, you know yourself, right? Even if somebody's secretly praying and you could only hear them whisper, it's almost like a feast and like I'm really trying to make a good point here. God, just get that enemy out. Cast him down, David prays. Deliver me from the wicked with your sword. From men who have their portion in this life. Those who really live for this life and they're going to die and go to hell. Whose belly you're going to fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children. They leave the rest of their possession for the babes. And lastly, he says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. And I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. He prays very confidently. And I like his summary. And this is what we're going to give some time as we finish up is Psalm 17. After asking God to listen to him, after telling God, I have passed all the tests, but God, I still have more tests. Please lead my steps. I don't fail any. After asking God to protect him from his enemies as the apple of his eye, after describing all the evil of his enemies, he says, God, okay, now for me, you know what I look forward to the most? Is that time when I see your face in righteousness. When I wake up and I am just like you, I will be satisfied. David is looking forward to the time when he actually leaves this earth and goes to heaven to be with the Lord. When he sees God's face in righteousness. He's looking forward to be completely satisfied when he's glorified. When he wakes up and all he is, just like Christ. The circumstances that David went through, his enemies, his troubles, his trials, his tests, pushed him to think about the time when he goes to be with the Lord, when he really rests from all his labors. In fact, when people pass, when people die, we normally say they have rested. No more laboring on this earth. And David said, I look forward to that time when I see your face in righteousness, and then I wake up to be like you, I will be completely satisfied. The one thing that God wants to do with us, all of us who believe in him, and those who will believe in him, those who do not believe in him yet and will believe him later, is to transform us into his likeness, to make us just like himself. He wants us to one day see him in righteousness, in complete perfection. And if I may ask, don't you look forward to that time when everything is perfect, when you meet your Maker? And while on this earth, you know what God wants us to do? To grow into his likeness. From the day we come to Jesus Christ, the one thing he really wants us to do is to grow to be like him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, says, for whom he foreknew, you, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. To everybody he knew before he made, he intended that they would be transformed, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, his son, the perfect man. And one goal we have on this earth is to grow to be exactly a reflection of Jesus. One person said, the destiny of God's people is to be conformed into the image of God as perfectly displayed in Jesus Christ, his son. Each one of us. God wants us to look like Jesus, and not just appearance. Character, conduct. Just looking at the life of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, you see one perfect man. And that's exactly what God wants us to be. Nothing less. And every day, all the tests David talks about, all the guidance he asks, all the protection, the one thing that he wants to do is become just like God. And I would love to challenge us today. The reason you're here to learn on a Wednesday, on a Sunday, the reason you gather in many places for Bible study, for worship, for fellowship, is just to be like Jesus. It's not just to have a good time and feel good and tell others how nice church is. It's actually to be like Jesus. Now that's a huge challenge. It's a lifetime challenge. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, this is what Paul had to say. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Just like we'll die, we are promised glory. We are promised to be physically like Jesus Christ. However, on this earth, we're supposed to be in character like Jesus. Just imagine how this country, this city, or your family would be if every Christian conducted themselves just like Jesus. Wouldn't this be a nice place to live in? If every Christian's goal is to wake up every day and say, God, I just want to be like you today. I just want to get rid of all my selfishness, all my sinfulness, and be perfect just like you. Even if I fail, that is still my goal. Somebody said this about his desire. He said, I do not want to be like Paul. Oh, me, amen. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow him only, copy his teachings, drink his spirit, place my feet in his footprints. Oh, to be more like Christ. Is that your desire too? To follow him, to follow his teachings, to be filled with his spirit, to walk just like he walked. That's what David wants. Somebody else said, no literal portrait of Jesus exists. Have you seen all the pictures that have been drawn depicting what Jesus looked like? Those are all imperfect, by the way. Like, was really this handsome guy with long black hair, nicely carved up beards, mustache and all? Have you watched Son of God? You can tell from the crowd that, oh, that is Jesus. That is actually not true of his appearance. Isaiah said somewhere that there's nothing attractive externally at all. He would pass for just like any other man, any other Jewish man. Remember when he was about to be crucified, when the Romans were looking for him? They didn't even know how he looked like. Can you imagine? The Roman soldiers had to have a guide to say that there he is. But you've seen these movies, all these Jesus movies. You look at the movie and like, oh, that's Jesus over there. You don't even doubt. There's no existing portrait of Jesus, but the likeness of the Son who makes us free can be seen in the lives of his true followers. No literal portrait of Jesus. We don't know exactly how he looked like, but this person says, the likeness of the Son who makes us free is seen in the lives of his true followers. We have the privilege to look like Jesus. Isn't that a nice privilege? We're not all Jewish, but in character we have the privilege to be just like Jesus. We should not be known just for noisemakers, just like those guys over there. Just had the noise. When you hear that noise, you're like, oh, that's them. It's more than just noise, the noise that we make, more than just the songs that we sing. It's the life we live. The depth of spiritual life that we live. Do you look like Jesus to the people around you? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul writing to this church, he says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. And as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Now, David is definitely looking forward to the time when he leaves this earth and goes to heaven. And this is exactly what Paul talks about. Now, in that scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, he tells them that, "You know, you can testify that when we were with you, we were just like Christ. We're just, we're blameless. Not that we're perfect. We behaved ourselves among you who believe." Christians, we need to behave ourselves, right? We need to behave like Christians. Paul says, "We behaved ourselves among you. We exhorted, we comforted, we charged you as a father would do to his children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Who calls you to walk with him right now. We're part of God's kingdom. And ultimately, part of his glory. When his kingdom on earth is done, we are part of his kingdom of glory. We'll be completely perfect." That's a good challenge for us Christians from the life of David. And he says, "I look forward to that time when I see the face of God in righteousness." And he says, "I shall be completely satisfied." There is the satisfaction that we have in Jesus Christ. This life can pass us by. Everything. Christmas can come and go. Right? The substance is Jesus. We have him. There is that satisfaction that we have in Jesus Christ. The rest that, you know what, all I need is Jesus. If I have Jesus, everything else can pass me by. But it's continuous. It's a longing for more. Does not just stop at, okay, that is okay, I am fine. There is always a longing for more. And when we get there, that is when we will be completely satisfied. We are positionally satisfied now. But after this, we will be completely satisfied. I hope this psalm really challenges our prayer life to be very honest with God. To speak to him just like David speaks to him. "Lord, listen to me. Justify me. Lord, try me. You've tried me, try me some more. And lead me to pass those trials that you set up for me. Lord, protect me closely and sensitively and dearly. Lord, look at those enemies of yours. They're proud, they're arrogant. Lord, deal with them. If it means getting rid of them, Lord, get rid of them. If it means them repenting, Lord, cause them to repent. And finally, just a longing, a desire for Christ-likeness. In this life and in the life to come, it's automatic though on the other side. Do you desire to be like Jesus? Do you really want to be like our Lord? Do you look at the Gospels and you're like, I am so far off, but that's my goal. As that scripture in Thessalonians challenges us, let's walk worthy of God who calls us into his kingdom and into his glory. May we daily desire to be like Jesus. May we desire to be kind, to be loving, to be generous, to be patient, to endure suffering, to forgive. To make sacrifices for the benefit of others. To spend and be spent for the benefit of others. To glorify the Lord. To fulfill those things that God has told us to fulfill. When Jesus had done everything, he told his disciples, "It's my time to go home now. It's your time to shine." And so they did. It's our time, right? It said of David, I didn't note down the scriptures, he served the Lord in his generation. That does not mean he was perfect and he got everything right. But his goal was to fulfill his ministry, whatever it was. Whether as a shepherd, he said, "God, I want to really be the best shepherd." He got out of shepherding. He went to be a worship leader in the palace. "God, I really want to be the best worship leader in this palace." He went off to the bush. I wonder if he really wanted to be the best rebel. But as a king, he really wanted to be a king just like the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that should be all. That should be our desire. And eventually long for perfection with the Lord. To look forward to the time when we wake up and there God is in righteousness and to have that complete satisfaction. Oh, it's in perfection right now. Everything is fine. Desire to be like Jesus and long to be with him on the other side. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we learned many lessons in prayer, how we need to be very honest with you, to open our hearts bare with you. Lord, we often pretend with each other, but not with you. You know everything. May our prayers be honest prayers. Lord, every day we have a test, we have a trial, we have an exam. Lord, we want to pass them. We want to pass them highly. So we pray what David prayed in Psalm 139. Lord, search us, test us, try us. And if there's something in there that we even do not know of that is hidden, Lord, remove it. And lead us in your ways of righteousness. Lord, we ask that you protect us from enemies. Around this time, Lord, there are those who are so desperate. They are out there to steal. They are out there to kill. They are out there to destroy for their own selfish reasons. Lord, protect your people. Protect your children. So many who are traveling. Protect them on the roads, Lord. As the children gather in union with relatives, friends, and neighbors, wherever they are, Lord, we ask that you would be right there to protect them. Lord, we ask that you provide. It's a time that many desire a nice meal, a different meal. Some are in hospital, some are in prison, some are poor. Only you can provide. Lord, we pray for those who do not know you yet, Lord, that you may change their hearts, Lord, their hearts are in your hands. cause them to repent, cause them to see their sinfulness and their end, which is hell. Draw them to heaven. And Lord, we, as your children, want to be like you, our Father, transformed in the image of your Son, Jesus. We want to be just like Jesus. Lord, we are so far off from perfection, but that's our goal. We want to wake up every day to act just like Him. So, Lord, cleanse us, purify us, lead us. Lord, we also long to see you in righteousness and to be with you in heaven. Oh, how we look forward to be there. Carry us through this journey and help us shine as you take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.